2 John. Wow. I had that error that I made last week on my mind. How many of you went back and listened or knew what the error was? Nobody? Man. I feel like Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 now. So we don't know what that means either. Okay. How about getting in the Word? I'm carrying on with you. Listen, last week I made two misspeaks, and I want to clear them up for the record. All right? So I said that the John that we're studying out of his epistle, these two epistles, we're in 2 John now, that his brother was James, and they were the sons of Zebedee. I later referenced the book of James as though James, the son of Zebedee, was the author of the book of James, and he is not. Now, some people believe he is, but that's a very weak position. That's a weak position. There is strong evidence that James, the brother of Jesus, is the author. I believe that. Just got my wires crossed. You ever get your wires crossed? A couple of you do. Well, okay. The rest of you, well, they're crossed. You just don't realize it yet. All right. Another thing that I said was that Luke had, as far as the words in the New Testament. By the way, I went back when I was kind of looking at this, and I don't know, I may have mentioned this Sunday. The Lord woke me up early Thursday morning and reminded me of what I'm telling you. And I'm glad God works on me that way. And if I ever say anything and you say, you know, I'm not sure of that, just come to me in love and we can discuss it. I'm not above correction, right? Right? No one, listen, when you get above that now, you're in a bad place in your life. If you get above correction, well, you're in a place where it's going to be very difficult for anyone to help you. And so always be willing to receive correction, especially from the right source. And so anyway, Luke does have the second most words in the New Testament, but it's not by hundreds of words. It's actually by thousands. And so I want to clear that up, okay? It's by thousands of words. Paul wrote, as far as words are concerned, Luke is the second most as far as content. And I was actually surprised. I think Luke was number 5, maybe 5 or 6 in the entire Bible. And that's just kind of shocking to me. I don't think of that. But you have to remember, someone has done some research and said, and I don't know that this is so, I haven't searched it out, that because Luke has a, you know, when he wrote the book of Acts, it's actually a part two, even though it's not a second Luke or like 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, same author, and it's written to the same individual for the same, you know, the first intended reader. And because it's that way, as a connection, it's way up there as far as being to the same person or persons. Of course, Moses, the Pentateuch, well, it carries it all. But anyway, wanted to clear that up. We ready now? Got your seatbelts on? Yeah. Okay. So if you'll stand, we're going to read 2 John. And last week, we talked a lot about John. This week, I want to talk to you about the purpose of John, okay, the epistle. Last week, we talked about John, who he was, what he was known by, the books that he authored under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this week, I want to talk about what his theme is, and I think we'll have time to talk about why. Why did God move on John? Let's read this. I'll have you be seated. And then I want to mention the placement of 2 and 3 John. It's amazing how that God moves. And I'm not saying that this is inspired. I just think it's very interesting that what John is writing about is placed in the canon of Scripture where God wanted it to be placed in our English-speaking Bible. All right. 2 John. The older unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, or not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And you remember that. And don't you ever let anyone tell you any different. I don't care what they're wearing or how well spoken they are. A person that does not confess that Jesus is God in the flesh is of an antichrist spirit. Verse number 8. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and to speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us together to study your word. And Lord, it is my desire to teach the truth, to teach your word about truth. And I know it is the desire of these people. They have come to hear the truth. Truth is very important. Help us, God, to realize just how important the truth of your word is. Help us to accept nothing less but the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. All right. So you get to 2 John, and you see that it's about truth. As a matter of fact, five times, if you counted in the first four verses, two times in verse number one, truth, truth. One time in verse number two, one time in verse number three, and one time in verse number four, truth. John is very concerned that this elect lady, who is without name, I mentioned to you last week, some people believe this was a church, some people believe it was addressed to a church in her home. I think it's probably both. I think that she, and we'll see that as we get through the study, I think she was a very dedicated believer. Back in this day, as we shall see here in just a moment, there was a lot of traveling preachers who stayed in Christians' homes. Now, you know, I can remember that, and some of you that are older than me can remember when that was the way that it was done. There were very few preachers who traveled to churches to speak that stayed in motels or that stayed outside of members' homes. The members would have the missionaries, the guest speakers in their home. Well, this is what's happening here in 2 John and 3 John, and we'll get to that in just a moment. They were extending hospitality. That was a way to extend hospitality to the speakers. Well, false speakers, false teachers, false prophets began to capitalize on that, and as they would travel, they too would stay in the homes, and John is writing, as does Paul, tell Titus and also Timothy, look, you have to be careful about these people who say they're preachers who are going to be staying in your home, because they will poison you if they are false teachers. And so know who is staying in your home. So here's one of the messages of 2 and 3 John. Know who you have in your home. And it's not just preachers. I want to say something to the parents here. You need to know who your children are with at all times. And I don't think I have to say that to this group, but I'm going to. I believe that we have responsible parents who understand the day that we live in. And it's not the same day as it was when I was a child. And many of you were a child. Times have changed. Got to keep your eyes peeled. You must know who your children are with and who is with your children. But I want to go beyond that in John's day. As a matter of fact, John, if you'll notice in verse number 10 in 2 John, he said, if there come in unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. In other words, if there's a preacher, listen, the Jehovah's Witness wasn't around then. And I say that a little bit in humor, but the false teachers were not in the form that they're in. They were actually in the form of false prophets. And John mentions them over and over in 1 John. Let's go back and I'll show you what I'm talking about. John had already said, he'd said, listen, look in 1 John in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 18. He said, 1 John 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Slide down in that same chapter and look in verse number 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father. And so he's saying that there's false teachers and there's false prophets. He said in chapter number 4 and verse number 1, he said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are going out into the world. And they're on a cycle. They're almost like a circuit. And when they come to your home, don't have them in your home. Yes, as Christians, you want to be hospitable. Yes, as Christians, you want to open your home up to strangers. The book of Hebrews teaches that we ought to entertain strangers, doesn't it? Chapter 13. But you have to do this with caution, especially in our day and even in Bible days. Now, if you go back to 2 John, you'll see that John was alluding to that in 2 John. He also alluded to it in 3 John. Look in 3 John in verse number 5. He said, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. You know, you want to accommodate people. You want to help people if you can. But now look at verse number 6. He said, these that have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentile. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. And so he said, when people and preachers of the gospel come by, they're preaching truth, help them. Have them in your home. Be hospitable to them. You're helping the cause of Christ. You're helping the gospel. But now when people that are not, if they're teaching false doctrine, don't give them the time of day. Don't bid them Godspeed. You send them on their way. And it's still the same. Nothing's changed. Hey, well, I don't want to be mean to anyone. I don't either. But I do want to be right. And sometimes to be right, you have to be a little stern. You do. And so as we look at 2 John, what John is saying here is he's saying, you know, you have to be cautious about who you allow in your home. Now, John mentioned it, and while I'm here, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you'll go back to Titus just for a moment, Paul mentioned it too. This was a problem in the early church. And by the way, I think it's a problem today. You say, well, I don't have any preachers in my home. You sure? Do you watch any video reels today? You checking these people out? I sure hope so. Because there's a lot of them, they're not of the truth. Do you know what your children's watching? On the game systems and if they have access to media? I sure hope so. Brethren, I'm telling you, many false teachers are gone out into the world. the target is the young mind. The target is the mind that is not experienced and that has very little knowledge of the Word. And so in I guess, addition to guarding, we need to be teaching so that our children can recognize what is right and what is not, what is truth and what is not. Is that right? Teach your children. Teach them. You say, well, I bring them to Sunday school. Thank God. Keep bringing them. Well, my kids are here tonight. Praise the Lord. But as a parent, it's your place to teach your children what thus saith the Scripture. And so John wrote it. Look, if you would, in Titus. Paul wrote it too, and he said in Titus in chapter number 1. Let me find that Scripture here. Let me get to it. In Titus chapter 1, might be chapter 2. I wrote it down here. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 10. Titus 1, verse number 10. He said, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Why? Well, because they subvert whole houses. And they're teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And so he said, you know, they get in these houses and they subvert, they sway, they teach things that are not so. And they sway people, they move people away from the truth. The devil's a liar, brethren. Listen to me now. He's the father of lies. And basically what John is writing about is truth. Truth. He keeps mentioning it. We'll see it in just a moment. I showed you in 2 John. 3 John, same thing. Truth. 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 Why? Because when you know the truth, when someone tells you something that's not true, lights go off. Radar comes up. Hey, something's not right here, right? You know when you hear the truth. Now, you know it. You know when someone stands up and they rightly divide the word of truth, you know that's so. But when someone gets up and they start getting sideways, if you, listen to me, if you have been in the truth and you know the truth, red flags go up. Something's not right. Something's not right. And that's what John is doing here. Look, if you would, I think it's 2 Timothy. Look in 2 Timothy just for a moment. Look in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then we'll look at verse number 6, and then we'll get back to 1 John. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, this is that passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul was saying that in the last days, you know, men are just going to move away from the truth. There's going to be a lot of false prophets. There's going to be a lot of false teaching. He said in verse number 6, he said, for of this sort or they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Now watch what he said. Ever learning and never able to come to the truth. And he said, you stay away from these people. You keep these people away. They'll have your children off course. And if you're not grounded, they'll have you off course. And so if you think, well, I'll defeat the devil only with the truth. Jesus gave us an illustration when he was tempted in the wilderness. And Satan constantly tempted him. And Jesus came back and said, it is written. What did he defeat the devil with? The truth. The truth. What am I going to defeat the devil with? The truth. The truth. He's a liar. And the father of lies. Our world lieth in the lap of wickedness. Our world is believing a lie. It is amazing the lies that are propagated throughout our world today. And it's only increasing with AI and all that's going on. It's really getting confusing out there. And that's why John, as we go back to 2 John, is said, now you make sure you stay in the truth. You know the truth, right? 3 John does the same thing. Look at it. Look at verse number 1 of 3 John. The elder unto the well-beloved guest. Now, 2 John is addressed to a lady elect without a name. Here's a man that 3 John is addressed to. Just in the event that someone would say, well, you know, it's only ladies that need to be concerned about really knowing the truth and being led astray. Well, here's John writing a man, Gaius, and he's saying, Gaius, he said, you need to get in the truth too. He mentions truth in verse number 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 3, right in the middle of the verse, he said, and testifies of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In verse number 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Verse number 12, right in the middle of the verse, and of the truth itself. Truth. Truth. Well, there was a man, when Jesus was brought before him, he said, what is truth? And our world is echoing that question today. What is truth? Truth is what I say it is. No, it's not. Truth is what I think. No, it's not. What is truth? What is truth? Well, I wrote down, and I hope you'll write these references down. If not, go back, because I'm going to go through them. I'm going to give you an overview, quick overview, of what the Bible says truth is. Truth, according to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, is of God. God is called the God of truth, or the source of truth. God is the source of truth. You understand that? He's the source of truth. And I'm glad that God has given us the truth, aren't you? Amen. So God is the source of truth. In order to have truth, God has to be involved. He's the source of it. And so truth, Deuteronomy 32:4, God is the God of truth. Jesus in John 1:14 is full of grace and truth. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, not a truth, the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. In John 14:17, Jesus refers to the Spirit of God as the Spirit of truth. You see, God has the truth. And if you want to know the truth, you need to get with God. If I want to know the truth, I need to get with God. I was begotten by the word, James 1:18, of truth. It's truth that got you saved. Truth broke through the deception and the lies and penetrated my heart and showed me my condition. Lies deceived me and made me think I was okay. But when the truth broke through, God shined in my dark heart the light of the gospel, and I got saved, brethren. That's the way you get saved. That's the way everyone gets saved. You cannot get saved without the truth. Truth is important. And we live in kind of like this post-truth society where people no longer believe that truth is fundamental, that it's absolutely necessary. Truth is what I say it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. What a mistake that people make to think that they get to decide what truth is. God has already made that decision. It's up to us to discern the truth so that we can obey the truth. Let me go on. Not only are we saved by truth, James 1:18, John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So we're not only saved by truth, we're sanctified, set apart by truth. You will never serve God in the capacity, I will never serve God in the capacity that God saved me to serve him in if I do not get in the truth. Ephesians 5:26 says that we are, that God is washing, he is cleansing us, he is sanctifying us by the washing of water, by the word, which is truth. Truth is so important. And that's why John is writing about the truth. In John 8:32, we are set free by the truth. Right? The Son of God is, he sets us free. Why? Or how? By the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You say, I feel kind of bound up. I feel kind of restrained. Well, the truth can break the chains of darkness and restraint. And so many times when we begin to believe lies, when we begin to believe our own lies, when we begin to believe the devil's lies, we get bound and we get restricted. But when we begin to believe the truth and obey the truth, then those chains are broken and we are free. That's what the Bible says, right? Is that right, brethren? It's truth. It's truth. We need to get the truth. We're not only saved by truth, sanctified by truth, set free by truth. The Bible says we worship, John 4:24, in spirit and in what? Truth. You can't worship without truth. You can't be saved without truth. You can't be sanctified without truth. You can't be totally free in Christ without truth. Romans 2:2 says that we're going to be judged by the truth. You say, well, nobody judges me. The truth's going to judge you. The truth's going to judge me. Jesus said so. Paul said it in Romans 2:2. Jesus said in John 12:48, it's the truth of the word that's going to judge us. We are to rejoice, not in iniquity, 1 Corinthians 13:6, but we're to rejoice in truth, right? When you hear the truth, you ought to be glad. You ought to thank God that you heard the truth. Even if it hurts, we are to speak in truth. We are to speak the love of God in truth. Is that what the scripture says? Amen. We are to love the truth. Psalm 119 is full of the psalmist saying, oh, how I love thy statutes. How I love thy word. We are to love the truth. We are to rejoice in the truth. Joshua 24:14 says we serve in sincerity and in truth. We are to speak the truth. We are to desire the truth, manifest the truth, hear the truth, obey the truth, and certainly we are to walk in the truth. You know why? Because as the church, and if you're saved, we who are saved are the church. And we are, according to 1 Timothy 3:15, the pillar and ground of the truth. It's truth. If we need to get to seeking, and I believe we are now, don't misunderstand me. But there's a world out there that wants to infiltrate the sphere of our truth with error. And that confuses us. It weakens us. And so we need to block out the lies, and there are plenty. And not all of them are outside the church. So we need to train ourselves. We need to study. What? To show ourselves approved unto God. How? Rightly dividing, are you ready? The word of truth. We just need to get in the truth. You get the truth in you, and your life will change. Truth changes lives. It changes the way we think. It changes the way we view things. It changes our perspective. It changes our walk. It changes our relationship to God. It changes our relationship to others. It's truth. But we live in a world that wants nothing to do with truth. But we're not of the world. We are of Christ. And he's the truth. And the church in which he has birthed us into is the pillar and ground of the truth. And he has given us the word, which is the word of truth. And we're to get in this book so that we can walk in truth. Know the truth, share the truth, think the truth, talk the truth, right? Truth. And so here's John. Look down, if you would, at 2nd, 3rd John. Anybody, without turning the page, you know your Bible. What's the next book after 3rd John? Say it out loud. Jude. What's Jude about? Not truth. Error. Error, apostasy. Somebody said it. Apostasy, error. And so here's what John said. John said, hey, listen. I like the way that the Spirit of God placed these books. Get in the truth, 2 John. Get in the truth, 3 John. Why? Error. Men are going to creep in unawares. And you're going to have to contend for the truth. You're going to have to say, no, you're wrong. You don't want to do that. You'd rather just keep on teaching the truth. But every now and then, listen, you build with a trial. You defend with a sword. But sometimes you have to have both in your hand, as in the days of Nehemiah. And you have to battle and build. You have to contend for the truth. And say, no, you're wrong. That person's wrong. There's this comedian on social media. I think his name's Billy Marks or something like that. And I'm just going to tell you, stay away from him. He is a liar. But he wants you to laugh at his lies. He says it's okay for women to preach. God said it's not. He says that people in churches that say it's not okay for women to preach, he said they're just dinosaurs. I don't care what he calls me. I got a word for him. And I'm not attacking anyone, I'm just telling you the truth. He's a liar. God does not call women to preach. You say, I beg to differ with you. Well, come see me. We can talk about it. I'm not angry at anyone. I just think that we need to tell the truth. And God doesn't call women to preach. Amen. God doesn't even call women to leave the home, let alone the church. Boy, it gets quiet, but listen, that's the truth. I'm not saying it to make you mad. I'm saying it to tell you the truth. And when you begin to accept the truth, then you'll get free. But as long as you resist the truth, and you do know that that's what the scripture says that people do. Right? There are people who resist the truth. I wrote down some scripture here. Let me pull this up for you. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy. Let's see how, if we're not careful now as believers, I'm talking about believers, preachers, me, good Christian folks, you, the devil can have us so sideways to where we will side with error and not truth. But God knows we are people. If we're known by nothing else, I want to be known as a preacher of truth. I want to be a Christian of truth. And I believe you want to be known as a man of truth, a woman of truth, a family of truth. Are you in, let's see, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Turn there if you would just for a moment. 1 Timothy 6. Notice what the scripture says here about truth. 1 Timothy 6. Look down if you would in verse number 5. Here, Timothy is talking about people that teach other than the truth in verse number 3. And he gets down and he says in verse number 5, they're perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. And look at this phrase, destitute of the truth. Some people are just destitute of the truth. I mean, they don't have an inkling of an idea. They have no clue. Destitute of the truth. He says, supposing that gain is godliness from such, he said, what? What did he say, church? Withdraw yourself. Withdraw yourself from someone like that. So he's not all bad. Really? When did we start getting into that mindset? That a little poison is okay. Notice if you would in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm just telling you the truth here, okay? We need to know the truth about the truth. And as Christians, we need to walk in the truth. But in order to walk in the truth, we've got to know the truth. In order to know the truth, we've got to study the scripture. We've got to put ourselves under the authority of the truth of God's word. In 2 Timothy in chapter 3, notice if you would in verse number 7. Now these are very familiar. I kind of went there earlier when we were talking about these people who would go in and subvert houses. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now look at verse 8. This is interesting to me. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and of course that's the two magicians. The scripture doesn't tell us, but God told Paul so he could tell us. And so when I say the scripture, I mean the Old Testament scripture doesn't mention their names. So do these, now watch this, always, look at it now, resist the truth. I don't want to be in that category. I don't want to be in that category. But you know, there is an element of me, my flesh, that I could resist and rebel against the truth. I don't want that to be my lot in life. And I don't think you do either. I don't. And so we have to guard. We have to guard. And we have to stay in the truth. The more I'm in the Bible, the more I'm in the Word, the more it's in me through memorization, meditation, the least likely, I'm not going to say that I wouldn't do it, but the least likely that I would be to resist the truth. And so he said, who always, they resist the truth. He said, these men are of corrupt minds. They're reprobate concerning the faith. Another scripture, if you look in Romans chapter number 1, this is a very familiar, I could just say it, you would know. But in Romans chapter 1, look there if you would about what people do with the truth. We're living it today, brethren. We're living it today. I don't know if you realize what's going on in our world, but people are defaming the name of Christ. People who say they've been called of God to preach the word are saying that they are transitioning, not from sinner to saint, from male to female. And they want me to accept that. They want you to. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept it. It's sin. It's a misrepresentation of biblical Christianity. The scripture says here, notice if you would, in Romans chapter 1. You're very familiar with Romans 1. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 25. Romans 1 verse 25. It says back in verse 22, you got these people who profess themselves to be wise, they became as fools. And then you get down in verse number 25, and here's what they do. They change the truth of God, what? Into a lie. God's okay with it. No, he's not. Not if it's sin. Not if it breaks his commandment. Not if it goes against the clear teaching of his word. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, God is not okay with it. Will God forgive it if it's repented of, if it's confessed in humility of spirit? Yes, God will forgive it. Thank God. But I don't get to decide. I don't get to decide how I'm going to live and say, God, now you're going to accept this. No, God has said, this is how you're going to live, and you're going to accept it, or there's going to be consequences. Now, we've lost that somewhere along the way. As believers in our churches, to where we think we get to lay out the way we're going to do this, and God, we want God almost to put a stamp of approval on it and say, okay, I'm good with that. No, God has given the record, and this is the record right here. And God said, this is what we're to do. These are my expectations. This is best for you. What's best for me, Lord? The truth. The truth. Walk in truth. Seek the truth with all within you. Seek the truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, the truth that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's the truth. And so here we are. And we're in this society that wants me to accept just anything in any way. And I have been called everything from old fogey, antiquated. Just recently I was called a dinosaur. Now, the person said they were doing it in love. I don't know. Is that possible? Somebody help me out. Maybe it was. If I am, I want to be with them meat-eating dinosaurs. I don't want to be with them plant-eating dinosaurs, Brother Terry. Weaklings. The truth. The truth. We need the truth. Amen? We have it. Aren't you glad? Could you imagine knowing the importance of truth? Could you imagine if we didn't have it? And can I tell you, there's so many people confused even right here. They're just confused. They don't know where the truth is. The truth's right here, brethren. This King James Bible for the English-speaking people, this is the truth. I'm not going to get into it, but you need to know why the King James is different from all these other faulty translations. Not being mean, I'm just trying to help you out some. You look into it. Study the Nestle's text. Study the Alexandrian text. It's not hard. There's all kinds of good material out there. Study the Textus Receptus. Study the Catholic text, which all of these other translations come from. Study why they come from those Catholic texts. Study why. It's important. You say, oh, it's not important. Yes, it is. Is the truth important? Is it? Come on, folks. Yes, it's important. Now, if this lady, yeah, you, if she's got something that reads different from me, can things that are different be the same? That's not a trick question. It's either the truth or it's not. It either is the absolute truth, it contains the truth, or it has no truth. Right? Ah, preacher, you don't need to make a big deal about that. I'm making a big deal about truth. I'm not going to ever not make a big deal about truth. I'm not going to get up and hammer and drive it and push it down your throat. But I tell you what, when God tells me to preach it, I'm going to preach it without apology. It's the truth. Truth will never have to apologize. Never. And so now we go back to 2 John, and John says, I want to tell you the truth. I want to tell you the truth, and I want you to walk in truth. And I want you to know the truth. Now, I looked down there in St. James, and I said, you know, aren't you glad in my mind when I saw him, I thought, here's a man that was raised in Peru. Aren't you glad that God has given the truth to other people from other tongues? Amen. I'm glad that the Spanish-speaking people have a copy of the truth. Right? There are many, many language groups that have a copy of the truth, and it's not the King James Bible. Understand your translations. Understand why and what, and know this. It takes study, but you want to know the truth. You want to know the truth. And so when I'm speaking to missionaries, I want to find out where they got their translation of the scripture from. When our missions committee sits down with them, we want to know. Why? We want to know if they got a copy of the truth. Because as the scripture says, it's the truth that's going to set you free. You need the truth. You need it. So John said, I'm going to tell you about the truth. Then Jude said, I'm going to tell you about the error. So I'm glad it wasn't the other way around, because God never works that way. He never does. God didn't say, hey, let me tell you how you can notice all these wrong things about the apostates. No, God said, let me tell you the truth. You get in the truth and you will recognize the apostate. You know the truth, you'll see error. So we have John, 2 John, 3 John, truth, 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 Jude, error. And then guess what's next? Revelation. You're going to face God. So you better choose wisely. All right? This same Jesus that you crucified, every eye shall see him when he returns. And he is going to be the judge of all the earth. And every person is going to stand before the Lord of glory. And we're going to be judged by what we've done with the truth. It's really, really important, brethren. All right? Well, someone has said there's only two realms in life, and you're living in one of them. You're either living in the realm of truth or the realm of a lie. I can only answer for myself. I have chosen to live in the realm of the truth. I'm constantly wanting and seeking truth. I want truth. I don't want to get comfortable with what truth I know, because I know there's more truth out there. And I want to know it. I don't want to relax, because I've been called upon as a preacher of the gospel, not only to proclaim the truth, but I've been called upon to protect or guard the truth. And as Christians, we need to make a big deal about the truth. We really do. in a day when churches have turned to entertainment, and I am not opposed. You know this. I am not opposed to events. I'm not opposed to programs. But none of those should ever trump the truth. I thought about this, and I'm going to be through for tonight. I thought about you. Just look around you. Now, a good number of our congregation has already stepped out. I couldn't tell you how many. I don't think I would be exaggerating by saying 30. Probably a little more than that. When you add our children, our nursery, our juniors, our young people, the workers, I think that's a good conservative number. So you add 30 to this crowd on a Wednesday night. And could you give me one reason why that is so? So, well, they like you, preacher. That has little to anything to do with it. And you know that's so. Well, we love one another. I think that has a little, very little to do with it, but I think that's so. You people love the truth. Why would you keep coming back? That's why you keep coming. You say, well, I don't know. I do. I do. We don't offer a whole lot more here. I mean, we just really got some wonderful singing, but we even sing the truth. Amen. I think it was Brother Sam Allen, you say, it's just as wrong to sing the truth as it is to tell. It's just as wrong to sing a lie as it is to tell one. And he's right. If you're going to sing, sing doctrinally pure, doctrinally sound songs, right? So, the truth. I appreciate you having a love for the truth. And I mean that. I mean that with all that's within me. You just don't know. You remember what John said? How that he had no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. The pastor's greatest joy is to know that his people love the truth. That does my heart, I mean, turning flips backwards. If I knew the Greek alphabet, I'd say it backwards. So, always love the truth. Don't change now. Don't change. Don't let anyone change you. Please, don't. Stay in the truth. Stay in the truth. Study the Word. Get more of it. Don't get satisfied with what you have. Just keep digging for truth. There's gold in this book, brethren. There's jewels in here. There's nuggets. This book is full of truth. And the more truth you get, when you look at that verse of Scripture in John 8:32, it reads this way. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the more truth you know, the freer you will be. Remember when you first got saved? You were entangled with some things. But as you began to get truth, the more truth, and apply that truth, the freer the shackles began to be. And the things that were holding me back and holding you back and holding us down, no longer. Why? Because truth prevailed. All right? All right. Let's stand to our feet. Truth. I thank God that I belong to a church where people love the truth. You say, well, that's every church does, preacher. No. I wish they did. Are we perfect? Nope. Are we all that? Nope. We are what we are by the grace of God. Okay? So don't leave here saying, well, the preacher thinks he's all that and he thinks we're all that. No, I don't. But I will say this. You're people who want the truth. And that says a lot about you. Just don't ever change that. And maybe get a greater hunger for it. Say, God, fill me with your truth. Fill me with your truth so that I can discern. The more truth you have, the more discernment you have, the more discernment you have, the closer you are with God, because now you can discern good and evil. You have your senses, according to Hebrews, exercised that you can discern good and evil. And the more discernment, the more power, the more you can do for God's kingdom. Father, thank